Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always On to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and we are back with our mailbag number 8. And what does that mean? That means we got Mr. Lance Laster.
What up?
And Mr. Nick Ryan Magdoza. What's up, Nick?
Hello, hello. It's great to be back.
How you been, man?
Oh, man, it's been busy, but been good.
Good. Well, welcome back. We're always... have a seat for you at the mailbag opening on the podcast because there's a lot of stuff we got to get through. So I had to actually, I double checked how many we had done before we record this. And I'm like, oh, we've done 7 already.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy.
I guess I thought I did them like at the end of every season. I think I did one like in the middle. So we're about to start season 7 and we're on mailbag number 8. So we'll see how it goes. You know, I will call them iTunes. I will always call them iTunes reviews, but they're apparently Apple Podcast reviews now.
Okay.
Certain things, you know, changes in this world, you know, they're not going to stick with me and that's not one of them. So it's always going to be iTunes to me. Emails, things like that. So you guys know the routine, hopefully. But, you know, sometimes every episode could be someone's first episode.
That is true.
So I just want to lay that out. So, an odd place to start, but welcome to the podcast. This is your first episode. So we're just going to go through. We're going to go in a rotation here. I'll start. Lance will follow me up, and then Nick, and then we'll just keep going in a circle, reading all the messages here. And really, thank you all for sending in emails and leaving us reviews. I mean, it means a lot to know the people out there listening and responding to the show. I mean, obviously, we enjoy this. That's why we spend so much time doing it. But it's extra fulfilling to know that all you guys out there are enjoying it as well. So know that every message and email is read and appreciated. And we don't want to be here all day. I know that one time we split into two. We did a...
yeah.
Breaking Dawn part 1 and 2 situation. we're not doing that anymore.
Breaking Dawn. Okay.
Yeah, the Batman, bro. And so with that said, let's get into it. So starting off, I have an email from Corey Moore. We hear a lot from Corey.
He's the legend.
In this mailbag. Corey Moore, he has earned the right to have the majority of his emails read on the mailbag based on his A-plus statistician work.
No relation, right? No relation.
Not that I know of. So who knows?
Secret brothers are a thing in the DC universe, though.
Yes, that's true. It's a very good point. Secret siblings. So if you run out of stuff to do in a story, just bring out a secret sibling. Works every time. Every franchise. So email from Corey Moore, Superman 4. Hey, it was fun listening to your review of Superman 4. It motivated me to go back and watch it again. It had been a few days or decades since the last time I watched it. I give it a grade of Q+, Q for quest. Like Superman was on a quest for peace, I too am on a quest. A quest to get on the TV show Holy Moly. Yes, that one, the miniature golf show. Months ago, I filled out the information to be a contestant on Holy Moly. A few weeks ago, the casting department contacted me twice, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed. They keep calling me and push me through. If any of y'all have any connections in Burbank, California, call them and put in a good word for me. Well, Corey, I hope you got on the show. I didn't get an email saying you did, so maybe you didn't. I've never heard. Have you guys heard of this show?
Yes, I have. For me, it's because the creator of this show and the lead producer of this show is one of my favorite, you know, celebrities and athletes out there. It's Steph Curry. This is his invention.
Steph Curry?
Yes.
These Steph Curry?
Yes.
I thought you were going to say you knew him from high school. It's like, wait, we went to your high school, but no.
No.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, this is his baby. So, Corey, if you get on that show and after this episode airs and you have a chance to meet Steph, like, holler at him for your boy over here. Like, that'd be amazing.
No, I've never even heard of this, but he did sign off Up, Up, and Away, Nuclear More. So thank you, Corey. And that's in response to a Superman special we did on Superman 4 with John Mills back about a year ago.
Yep.
About 6 months ago, actually. We're doing these about every 6 months now. So,
okay.
So these are starting then. No, Corey, I had never heard of this show before, so I could not have helped you out. But Nick, do you know Steph Curry personally?
Personally, no, I don't.
Okay. I know somebody that knows Steph personally.
Well, there we got to get them. Okay, maybe next season, Corey. We'll get you on the next season. So anyway, thanks a lot, Corey.
All right. So next up here is an email from Renee Patrick. Subject line, enjoyable podcasts. And it goes on to say, I have enjoyed listening to the Always Hold On to Smallville podcast. They are informative and delightful. They always seem to have the scoop on inside information. I'm glad I discovered the podcast via their Facebook page. Renee Patrick.
At Renee Grant Pat R1. So shout out to you on Twitter there.
Yeah.
So, thanks, Renee. Inside scoops. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't go that far.
Scoop, but, bro.
Scoops.
But yeah, we try to stay abreast and on top of everything we discuss here on the podcast. So I appreciate that email.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have an email here from Romello Malone titled Lex Luthor. Hi, Zach, it's Romello again, and I wanted to ask if Michael Rosenbaum didn't leave Smallville and his Lex Luthor was in full season 8, 9, and 10, how different the show would have been, and do you think we would still have had Tess Mercer in the series?
Well, I don't think we would have had Tess as we know her. They might have introduced a character, you know, like a Mercy Grace, perhaps, mm-hmm. to be somebody for Lex to interact with. But yeah, 8, 9, and 10 have been totally different, and Rosenbaum come back. I mean, I don't know. That's the thing, right? Mike Rosenbaum, arguably the best thing about Smallville. But, I mean, where do you go with the character after season 7? Right? He had killed his father at that point. Him and Clark were enemies.
Yeah.
And then at what point is it like, oh, he doesn't know he's Superman yet, right? Because they can't, they're in this holding pattern with like, well, we can't make it Superman, so he's Clark Kent, but now he's his best friend, his enemy. And I mean, he would totally know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he found out, I mean, just looking at season 7, unless you do some dumb amnesia thing, which the show had no problem doing. Which see the series finale, God's sake, for Lex. But it would have been totally different. It would have been better, maybe. I mean, more Lex. Yeah, I mean, you can't say no to more Michael Rosenbaum's Lex, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like, it's hard to even, because so much of what they had to do the last 3 seasons was because Michael Rosenbaum and Kristen Kirk left, right?
Yeah.
So it'd been a totally different show. Lance, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think they would have come up with something, but, you know, the show could always do with more Lex. I mean, the only thing I could think of is, like, he creates a battle suit? I mean, that's, what, the next logical step? But, yeah, you're right. They couldn't continue with the, he doesn't know who Clark is, and he doesn't try to, like, expose that or do something with that information type of deal. Like, you can't, like, have him... Once at season 7, we can't have him not know for the next 3 years, right? Like, that'd be dumb at that point.
Well, as you guys know, I never finished the series. I'm still working through it, though. I remember I made that podcast promise. I'll have it done before you guys are done with the podcast. Now, from what I'm hearing, would it have been interesting if they went the Flash way and just brought a different multiverse Lex in that came out of nowhere? It's like, oh. And he's all of a sudden nice. I think now I'm just looking at it because we've seen something done before, like on The Flash. You think that could have helped?
I don't want Smallville to do anything The Flash has been doing. I don't want...
I stopped after like season 2 or season 3 of The Flash, so I don't know where...
So did everyone. Except for Lance, apparently. Holding down the fort in Central City over there.
It's hard, honest work, let me tell you.
To that point, Lance and I were talking about this just the other day. I saw this tweet about, like, so I hadn't watched The Flash in a few years, And I tuned in, and who are these fools? And it's a clip of, like, three people I've never seen before, like, just hanging out in Star Labs, like, talk. I'm like, who are you? Why are you sitting? That's Cisco's chair. Where's Dr. Wells? You know, I don't know. And that's, if you, you know, just say you stopped watching Smallville in season two, and then you just, you tune in season eight, and you get, like, Jimmy Olsen talking to Tess Mercer at the Daily Planet, and then Davis Bloom comes by in an ambulance. You're like, what is the show? What has happened? So, I, you know. There you go. Similar situations, perhaps. But anyway, so there you go. Well, thanks for the email, Romello. And hey, you got a follow-up email. Bad Clark. Luther and Kent is my favorite episodes from the 10th season of Smallville. And I want to ask if Clark Luther came to Clark Kent's world at the same time when the real Clark is under Red Kryptonite again. Do you think Clark Luther and Red K. Clark would have teamed up to work together to take over the world? Or do you think the two of them would have had a huge battle to see who's the baddest anyways? What's the difference between Red K. and Clark Luther? Every time I see those two bad Clarks on Smallville, I feel like they're kind of similar in some way. Well, I don't think they would have a big battle because the show can't afford that by that point. They might have teamed up and then somebody would have stopped them immediately. Yes. I don't know, I could see them maybe teaming up. That might be fun. Red Kryptonite, you know, very hit or miss, you know, after the first couple of instances. So I'm not the biggest, I wouldn't really want to see that, honestly. I'm glad, I'm actually kind of shocked they didn't bring it back again for season 10.
Yeah.
Because everybody loved that, but this was their answer to that. Like, how do we get, because Tom Welling plays the villain so well, like, how do we get that again? And Clark Luther was the answer to that. And that's really good. Like, I you know, I did this poll, right? Who's your favorite evil Clark? Not too long ago. Red Kryptonite Clark won by quite a bit, as I expected. I voted for Lionel as Clark for Transference. I know that's just one episode, but it's just so good, right? And then I think Clark Luther was third. Mm. And then Bizarro was fourth, and I don't know why anyone voted for him at all. That's why would you? I mean, he's okay, but all three of these are so much better. Like, how could you say that? That Bizarro's better than those other three. So, yeah, they're definitely the same vibe because Clark is Tom Welling's doing the same, like, oh, hey, I'm evil now. Yeah, like he's doing the dressing in nice clothes, those kinds of things. So, yeah. So, Nick, you don't know who Clark Luther is, do you?
I actually don't. It sounds Nick, like.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask this. Well, how does Clark Kent get his name? Where does Clark come from, that name?
His father?
So that was his mother's maiden. That was Martha's maiden name.
Oh, okay. Okay. That, right. Okay.
So if I told you that Clark, that Kal-El from Krypton landed in a field in Smallville, and instead of the Kents finding him, the Luthers found him.
Oh.
Why would his name be Clark?
Be Clark, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. That's all. That's
okay.
The show.
Okay, I thought you were going to...
No, there's no, it doesn't lead anywhere. This, the show just decided that you wouldn't know. Like, his name should have been Julian Luther, right?
Yeah,
because look at the time. Look at the timeline on Smallville, right? Lex, as in Memoria, one of the greatest episodes. His mom's pregnant with Julian, right?
Julian.
When Lex is bald already, so that's post meteor shower.
Yep.
But if they found Clark Luther, they wouldn't have had another kid, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just name this kid Julian Luther, and you all understand. Oh, and that's cool. Leaning into Smallville, but it's like, no, they're not going to know it's Clark unless we call him Clark. It's so dumb. Star Wars prequels mentality. How are they going to know it's the Emperor unless he looks exactly the same as he did 30 years later? They're not going to know. Anyway, any thoughts on that, then, Lance?
No, I agree with you, and yeah, it should have been Julian. I did not vote for Red K. Clark in that poll. So,
did you vote for Bizarro?
No, hell no.
I'm you, just a little more bizarre.
I'm you.
Actually, they didn't see, that's another thing. They didn't even do, and we'll talk about this as season seven come up, y'all. They didn't do the deeper voice for Clark, for Bizarro, until season seven.
Yeah.
So in season six, he's like, hey, yeah, thanks for the power up, bro. And he's just a smart, because they clearly, to me, they just threw that together. We talked about the part. They just threw that together, and they had no, like, who is this character? What is he supposed to act like? Like, Tom, just go do your evil thing. Mm-hmm. And he did. And then after the, during the break, they kind of like, all right, he's going to be like, I'm going to talk like this. And I have a, you know. So anyway, I'm the Green Arrow.
What I do best.
Anyway, moving on.
Next up, we got another email from Corey Legend. All right. So this is, the email subject is Subterranean plus Hydro. Hey there, Mr. Moore. Just like you, I equate what's going on in my life to Smallville. Your review of Subterranean dropped at the time I was buried in boxes to deliver for the holiday season. The amount of boxes this season was incredible. My work van had boxes all the way to the driver's seat, jam-packed to the ceiling. I felt like Santa, but not like the drunk Santa on Smallville. When I graded the Subterranean episode years ago, I gave it a C+. After listening to your review, I thought you and Lauren had a nice perspective on the approach Smallville took on illegal immigrants. My favorite scene is when Clark shows up at the McNally farm and asks for the tractor part. Anytime they get the actors outside and on a farm, it brings a smile to my face. Hydro, bro. This episode had some good stuff, but first, it's raining every day here. My truck is hydroplaning to work. Sorry, I had to make a pun. My favorite scene is when Chloe takes a hammer to the computer to keep Lana from hearing what Linda Lake had to say about Clark. Hydro gets a B+ for me. A huge shout out to all of the fantasy football owners. Congrats to the Metropolis Sharks on winning it all. It was a competitive league, except for Zach's team, of course. up and away, more farm geldings, Mustangs.
Yes, I was last place, I believe.
Yes, you were.
In fantasy football, but that's okay. That's the thing about sports. It's always another season. So, speaking of Subterranean, that was a very layered episode, mm-hmm. right? I think we talk about it best we could in the context of what we do here and what this TV show is. Mm-hmm. So it's you know, it's whenever you try to tackle these, you know, and talking about the Smallville itself now, when you try to tackle these like modern issues of the day in your sci-fi fantasy superhero context, it's always tricky. And you're like, well, I think they had the best intentions, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I always assume good intent with this stuff, but perhaps the execution was not there as we just on overall. It's not even that. It was just like you pair that idea of like Superman's the ultimate immigrant story, you know, let's mm-hmm. let's address that, great, perfect, but then it's like, but it's a mole man. Like, all right, maybe don't do those two things in the same episode. That's just the thought. But anyway, thank you for the email, Corey. Remember Subterranean, Nick? You remember that one?
It's been way too long. I'll have to I can Google it and come back to you.
Yeah, just, yeah, it's okay. It's fine. It's don't worry about it.
Is it an episode I must watch? Let me,
no.
Okay. There you go. All right. To continue, we have a iTunes 5-star review from Casey Guarin titled "Simply Brilliant." The direct personal connection to the show makes this instantly better than any podcast like it. Amazing breakdowns of each episode. Best podcast I've ever heard, regardless of topic. Thanks for introducing someone in their early 20s to the greatness of Smallville. Look at that, reaching out to the early 20s.
Reaching out to the youth.
Yeah, this is now the youth, yeah.
Why? I'm like, oh, wow, my God, that's early 20s is like, it's like 10 years younger than me now.
That's correct.
Like Tom Welling on the set of Smallville. This is ridiculous.
Early 20s of people born in 2000s.
Stop it, Nick.
Yeah, 2000. So yeah, best podcast I've ever heard, regardless of the topic. I need to like put that on
high praise.
I need to get some slides going on the social media for these reviews. But that's in the Smallville, always on the Smallville box set, which I'll send out to all the patrons when we're done with 48 CDs with all the episodes. That'll be one of the quotes on the back. So 5 stars by Casey Guerin, best podcast I've ever heard, regardless of topic. But thank you, Casey. I appreciate that.
Are you going to include unedited clips at the end?
Oh, that's a special bonus. A special the 50-second yeah. disc will be all the outtakes. Anyway. But no, thank you so much for that great review, Casey. I really do appreciate that. That means a lot. All right, so we got another email from Corey Moore. Justice. Hi, Zach. Happy New Year. Dating the emails. Thank you, Corey. as we all know, 2020 was very challenging due to COVID-19. Hopefully, your family, friends, and the always on the Smallville listeners have avoided COVID and are healthy. I'm thinking it would feel really good if we all envision ourselves walking away from 2020, just like Clark, Oliver, Bart, Arthur, and Victor did in the Justice episode. Boom. Cool, fiery explosion, slow motion walk. I feel better already. How about y'all? This is why we read Corey's emails. He puts a lot of effort into these things.
Yes.
It's very much appreciated, Corey. You and John Lee Brody, did a fantastic job discussing this episode. It definitely gets an A+ from me. I do miss the early Smallville good Lex, but seeing the evil Lex starting to slowly come out feels just right. Villains are some of my favorite things about fiction. You know, like Dracula, Darth Vader, Palpatine, Voldemort, Thanos, T-1000, Freddy Krueger, Hannibal Lecter, Biff Tannen, and Vito and Michael Corleone. Well, those guys are just misunderstood. Hans Gruber and the Joker, and let's not forget about Bane. Yes, please have Lance read this in his Bane voice. Oh, no. It's too late.
You did not screen the emails, so I could not have a chance to read this Corey legend. I apologize for the negligence. I shall finish your email by saying, my favorite scene is when Lex has Bart trapped in the big electrified cylinder. One of my favorite traps. I wish I could have used it on the Batman. If only Talia had permitted me to do so. Anyway, up, up, and away. No more 2020.
See, great... names like ours, you can make cool puns. So.
Yeah, no more 2020.
Vote
I like
more
that.
In 2004. Did you vote more in 2004, Nick? Did you vote more in 2004? Yeah,
I helped with like the banners and stuff.
That's
so
right.
I believe I did.
Thank you. Band president. Everybody go listen to back some other podcasts. We talked about it. So. Thanks, Corey. Yeah, and that's what, so, you know, I put these in order, but I don't like assign, you know, we don't like, obviously I read them when I get them and when I organize them, but we're just kind of going with the flow here. So sometimes we have happy accidents, right?
Yes.
Where it's like, Lance is my favorite host. Oh, Lance is reading the email. And other times it's like, have Lance read this and we're already at the end. So there you go. Yeah. So now you know, that's full transparency here on Always Holding Smallville. Mm-hmm. So, but thank you, Court.
All right, next is an email from Mr. Daryl Washington. Subject line, Justice Episode Podcast. And in it he says, in Casino Royale, it was Montenegro, not Monte Carlo, and it was the anti-monitor who had the Flash running in the Crisis crossover.
Well, there you go. Fact checking.
Yep. Appreciate that,
Daryl. I must have said the opposite of what you said there,
yep.
Which was incorrect. So I'm glad that you wrote in with the corrections.
There we go.
We will print a retraction. In the next issue.
Can you imagine being having a little edit in your box set of just like, oh, correction, Daryl Washington actually said.
That's right. We have to have a whole page. We'll have a whole insert, right? That you pull out, and in just every episode that has a mistake like that, we'll have these facts. Thank you. So thank you, Daryl. Thanks for listening and being on top of the facts.
Yes.
All right, now we got an email from Jason Hudson. It's titled, Hey, Zach, it's been a while. Still listen to the podcast.
It's been a while.
Still.
Zach,
it's not good.
That was on Smallville, right? That song? Must have been.
Was. Has to
been. I know it was our high school years. Yeah.
Na, 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 na. Who did that? So, is that the Stained?
I think it's Stained. Yes, Stained.
Look, okay, Nick, while you're typing, Nick, look up Stained Smallville. It's been a while. I think it might be in Leech.
We watching?
No, maybe not.
I think there's a lot of fan-made music videos right now.
That's pointless.
No, he did. Stained did a song called Fade in season one.
That must be in Leech, I think. Is it right? Confirm that I'm right.
Smallville fandom music. Let me stop in Stained. This was in Fade, beginning. Of Leech. Wow.
Very good.
Wow. Oh. Played at the beginning when Eric
I
and Clark
are
hit by the lightning at the top of the
This is
title.
Why this is the greatest podcast, regardless of
and
topic.
Any topic. Any subject. See,
what's funny is that it wasn't even the song, it was the right singer. it's just, I know the voice. The voice paired with this, it came from Leech, but it wasn't the song.
All right, good. Very good. Anyway.
Good shot.
Sorry to derail your email there, Jason. Let's start again at the top. Yeah. By the way, Jason, Z-A-C-H is how you spell the name. But anyway, let's continue.
I was going to let it go, Jason, just letting you know I saw it, but I didn't say anything. All right, he starts off with, it's been a while. Still listen to the podcast, still loving Superman. I just watched BVS Extended Edition, and let me say, it's even better. Still don't need Jenna Malone. But anyways, I just saw you posted Always Hold On to WW84, and I got an idea. How about Always Hold On to the OG Wonder Wonder? Maybe come up with a better name. I'm rewatching the Linda Carter show on HBO Max, and I really want to hear what you and Lance have to say. Like, what is up with the huge time jump between seasons 2 and 3? Is it stupid or okay that Steve looks the same? Which theme song is better? Let's talk about the sheer male chauvinism. So many questions and talking points. Stay honest, Jason Hudson.
Well, Jason, I have a show for you, my friend, because on the Patreon, me and Lauren Wynn are doing Always Hold On to Wonder Woman. So we're talking about the Linda Carter Wonder Woman show. We've talked about the 1984 movie. We've gone through the pilot and the other two TV specials, and now we're kind of slowly getting to the show. Not the same beat by beat coverage we do here on Smallville, but we're, you know, kind of talking about multiple episodes in each podcast, you know, every other month over there, we're talking about Wonder Woman. So check it out. Gotham Clock Tower level of the Patreon. That's it. Patreon.com/AlwaysSmallville with one S. And we will continue to stay honest. Thank you, Jason. And hey, you know what? Typos happen. So I'm not going to hold it against you.
It's all good.
But don't let it happen again. Let's move on. All right. Next is an email from Chris Lolly titled Podcast. I just discovered your podcast around October of last year, and I'm currently up to 412 Pariah listening and 7-1 on a rewatch. I just wanted to tell you the podcast is excellent, well done, and an all-around fun listen too. Zach is always enthusiastic about even the episodes he doesn't particularly love, and the guest hosts have been a great addition. Lance is obviously the best guest host.
Appreciate that.
Thank you for giving this podcast to the world. Thank you for giving this podcast to the world. It's been fun to rewatch after hearing your take on everything. Chris Lolly. Well, thank you, Chris. And I'm sure Lance appreciates that email.
I do. Thank you, Chris. All right. Next, we have an email from DJ Duena. And the subject line is Bullet Time Visual Effects. It's like, hi, I just listened to the Justice episode podcast, and you and your co-host talked about the special effects, and I have a question, or rather, I'd like to keep you to keep an eye out for it. Back in the season one episode Hug, the whammy deputy tries to kill Kyle, and Clark runs after the bullet but does not get in between because he doesn't know yet that he's bulletproof. In that shot at the 25-minute, 5-second mark, the bullet is in front of Clark, and yet he turns back. You could say that he might be checking if there's another one coming, but in the end, this is a first season episode and had another glaring editing mistake when Kyle whammied Chloe into kissing Clark. She clearly turns her head twice in two consecutive shots. Then in season two's Prodigal, when a certain Lucas Luther is shot, everything lines up quite nicely. Upcoming episode Freak, I think there's a spacing issue when Clark gets in front of the laser beam or whatever, but it's concealed so I can let it go. But when Chloe fires the tear gas at Lex and Progeny, Clark clearly looks anywhere but at the bullet coming for Lex, and I'm just wondering how that can be. After all, it's a virtual bullet that's inserted into a shot where the editor clearly sees where Tom is looking. It's all at the 30-minute, 21-second mark. Best regards, Karsten. P.S. I think I mentioned this in the episode Facebook post, but in season one's Rogue, Clark is in bullet time while avoiding Phelan's bullet and changes directions because he sees someone moving behind stained glass while being in bullet time.
Well, thanks for the email, DJ. I see what you're saying, like kind of special effects and editing matching up. I noticed that too. You know, I noticed a lot on Star Trek, you know, when they're firing phasers, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, phasers, if you watch new Star Trek, you wouldn't know this, but Star Trek from 1966 to 2005, phasers were beams of energy, right? Now they're just, you know, blaster guns like every other sci-fi.
And isn't it amazing? I was so moved.
I cried every episode. It's incredible.
I felt so seen.
I'm not going to go with Star Trek right now with y'all. All right. My point is, all right, yeah. One of the many changes Star Trek has made is phasers are just generic blaster guns now, like every other sci-fi franchise. But before that, they were energy beams. And that's how we're like, oh, this is Star Trek. This is their weapons, all right? So beams of energy coming out. And you can always tell, like, the really weird angles. Like, if the actor didn't point it at the right spot, mm-hmm. like, the beams, like, curve or they point. I'm like, it always looks really weird because it should shoot out at one angle. But sometimes it's all over the place on the scale. And this is the kind of stuff you're talking about. Eye lines, you know, CGI objects, that kind of thing. So, you know, I just think, you know, when they have the time to kind of to tweak those things, sometimes they do and they do. And sometimes they don't and they don't. And, you know, in the daily grind of a weekly TV show back when they were putting out 22 episodes a season, unlike today where it's like 16 on broadcast TV and like 8 on Steve's streaming service, right? You got to get these things out. So sometimes they just didn't have the time to fix it, because all these little things you're mentioning could easily be fixed with like another pass, right? of another set of eyeballs on it, but they're just like, who is going to be sitting here talking about this 20 years later? No one. So let's just get it out there to the people. So, but I see, little things like that. When I do see them, I try to call them out. So I'll and it, a lot of times I take notes on them. We just get sort of caught up in conversation. I'm like, well, do I want to go back and talk about how they had the the minor continuity problem in the last scene? But I will, I'll keep that in mind and shout them out more as I see them. So Smallville's not perfect, y'all. Believe it or not.
So. All right. Ooh, I get to finally read an email from Corey Moore, the legend. It's titled Labyrinth. Hey there. Season 6 rolls on with another goodie, Labyrinth. That was fun hearing of how Buffy the Vampire Slayer had a similar episode. I've totally forgot about that episode. I'll have to go back and watch it. Buffy was a pretty good TV show. Always hold on to Buffy? Question mark. What I liked about the Labyrinth episode is that it was a mental attack on Clark. Normally, most of his battles are physical, so seeing him use his brain to fight his way out was awesome. And Clark didn't do it alone. He was helped by Jackie Childs, Martian Manhunter. I'm tempted to bump this up to an A+, but I'll stick with it with just an A, because the Justice episode was just a little bit better. You covered it during your discussion, but the Lex in a wheelchair scene was my favorite scene too. Back in the day, I didn't see the preview for the episode, so when it was live, my eyes popped out of my head when Lex rolled out on a wheelchair. So good. Up, up, and away, more Manhunter. I love the names.
Alliteration is always your friend. So, but no Buffy, no Always on the Buffy for me. I'm going to leave that to Matt Latham one day if he wants to do it. I can sign the Always Hold On To rights for that show over to him. You can talk to Lance and Kev about how that negotiation has gone for their show.
Always hold on to Arrow, by the way.
Do not fill our pod on Twitter.
That's right.
And because that's how Lance and Kev said, they sound like this. it's true, though, right? Superman, the reason why Batman always beats him is because they write Superman like he's dumb, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm Batman. I thought of everything. Superman's just dumb. And, you know, it's look, when he's younger, Clark, it's kind of fun to laugh at because he's inexperienced, the big dumb alien, as we call him back in the day on the Krypton site forums, hashtag Krypton site still exists, right? And you know, look, he's a dumb teenager, he's young 20-something, he's figuring stuff out. But it is cool to see as the show progresses, he gets a little more. It's like the journey of Smallville is opposite from all the other superhero shows. Mm-hmm. Because all the other superhero shows start with this badass, like, hero who does everything on his own. Yeah. And then he accumulates team members because they want to, like, have somebody in a chair, someone to talk to, someone to explain the plot to, and then he becomes completely nerfed. But, you know, like the Flash, right? He can't do anything anymore by himself. Smallville, he's like, he started out like, oh, Chloe, where do I go? And then, like, by the end, he's, like, just going and doing stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they can have Superman be self-sufficient, I like that. He doesn't need a guy in the chair, you know?
That's correct.
He doesn't have an earpiece. You know, to talk to whoever at all times. And then Labyrinth really is one of the best episodes of season 6. The year of Martian Manhunter. Little did we know that it really was going to be the year of Martian Manhunter in all DC properties. Mm-hmm. But Phil Morris, right? What is he in two episodes we figured out?
Yeah.
Kidding me? But he's in Justice and Doom.
Mm-hmm.
So you can check out Lance Nice Marvel special on Justice and Doom to see more of that. And yes, that Lex, as we talked about on the podcast for Labyrinth, that Lex scene where in this alternate mind trap, his legs have been amputated. That was clearly supposed to be revealed in the episode. Mm-hmm. The marketing department didn't get the memo.
Nope.
And we're like, hey, that's cool. Put that in the trailer. It's like, way to go, guys.
Didn't you
but thank you, Corey,
memo?
As always. I got a new job.
Yours.
Take that, Morgan Edge. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that's a Batman Begin reference for you guys. Like, what are they talking about? But anyway. Yeah,
for the uninitiated.
Oh, Barbie, uninitiated. All right. Our next email is from Mike Franz. Always along to Smallville listener, Mike Franz, Mailbag 7. Dear Zach, Lance, and Nick.
Yeah.
Look at you, Nick.
Yeah.
I'm writing to tell you that I finally got to listen to Mailbag 7 and was delighted to hear my iTunes Apple podcast. Look at that, using both names. That's the way to do it. Well done, Mike. Hear my iTunes Apple podcast review read. I was MF3305. It was my email ID in college. Oh, okay.
Okay.
I have a feeling we might have made a joke about.
We did. I might have cursed and went on a thing on that.
Anyway, I would be happy to become one of your publicists. I'm sure it helps that I tend to write formally. I'm working towards my PhD in theater studies, and my academic writing style tends to bleed into email writing. Thank you very much for continuing these mailbag episodes and your continued interaction with listeners like me. I love being part of the Patreon and look forward to more content. Hope all is well, Mike Franz. Well, I'll have to contact you off the microphone about this.
Yeah.
we have a very generous employee package here. Always on the Smallville Network. Nick, I mean, you can tell them. You've been working with us for years. What have you got?
I've had lunch once.
What more can anyone ask?
All right. Next, we have another email from the legend, and its title is Crimson. It says, "Hey, Zach. I'm so glad you didn't wait until February to drop this Valentine's episode. I very much look forward to each episode you release, and I didn't want to wait for it. Crimson is one of those frustrating episodes. It has some good and really bad things about it. Years ago, I graded Crimson at a B. The scene where Clark and Lois crashed the party was wonderful. Awful idea. It was highly entertaining, well acted, but very uncomfortable to cap it off. And to cap it off, Clark abducts Lana. And then Clark gets all creepy in his loft with Lana, which is very shocking that the CW network allowed for their Superman to do. To say the least, I'm surprised the writers were allowed to do it. As a much older man when this aired, I'm starting to view some of Smallville much differently. Oh no, I'm getting old. Get off my lawn. Still my favorite show. My favorite scene is when Jimmy confronts Chloe about things Clark did at the party. Jimmy was the voice of reason in this episode, and I liked it. Due to my oldness and wisdom with age, I have to downgrade Crimson to a C+. FYI, the farm tool Lex jabbed into Clark's side was a chisel. Up, up, and away. Please no more Smallville Valentine's episodes.
Well, there's one more, Corey. But it's not till season 9, so stand by for that one. A chisel, that's true. I think at the time the name of the tool escaped me, but being a farmer yourself on the Moore farm,
yep.
You're familiar with the farm tools. And Nick, do you have any memory of Jimmy Olsen on the show?
No,
or did you stop watching by then?
When he mentioned Jimmy's name, I was like, what did Jimmy even look like?
Well, Jim, that is a Pandora's box you want to open right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Because there is Jimmy on the show, but it's not exactly the way you think. So maybe you should just, I would stop Googling right now.
Okay.
And don't, I can see you reading things. Stop immediately. Like, you don't,
okay, I'll stop.
I want you to experience the journey of the character Jimmy Olsen the way we all did.
Okay, I will.
And you should stop listening to the podcast as well. I mean, I know you don't listen already. Thanks. But we, as we do here, we spoil it all.
Right. And that's why I haven't been listening, because I don't want spoilers.
I have three words for you. Henry James Olsen. And we move on. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. With that, we're going to go into another email from Daryl Washington. It's titled Suicide Squad and Star Wars. Oh, this sounds like you guys talked about both of these.
Uh-oh.
I would like to see the David Ayer? I never knew how to say his name. I always read it. Is it David Ayer?
I think it's Ayer.
Ayer. Oh, there you go. Okay. He says, I would like to see the David Ayer cut, if only to see a movie more in line with the Comic-Con trailer, which I think was his original version. And he goes on to talk about Star Wars. I completely believe that Finn was going to be a stormtrooper turned Jedi, because there's no way he goes up against Kylo Ren in the first movie and doesn't just immediately get cut down.
Ooh, boy.
Well, let's start at the end. Yeah, Finn was clearly supposed to be the main character of mm-hmm. The Force Awakens. And they're like, oh, nope. And they just took him out of the movie and they said, Rey's the main character.
You could have had two.
Well, no, you can't have two. This is not the CW.
Yeah.
You know. So there must be two. That's their joke, right? But no, I saw a tweet about this, and it's so true. It was like, this is the greatest bait and switch in Hollywood history. And it's like Finn with the blue lightsaber at the end, mm-hmm. and then it's Rey with the blue lightsaber. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Now, at the time, like Force Awakens, I did love it. I was like, oh, well, clearly they know what they're doing. And no, they didn't.
Yeah.
Like they just, so they had no plan. And then, and Finn went from like the character with the best arc mm-hmm. in the first movie, going from a guy who, like, afraid to face his fears and all this stuff, to literally, like, facing down the face of the First Order at the end, right, to defend his friend. I'm like, that is a good character arc. And then he gets his ass kicked, as he should, because he doesn't have the Force yet. We don't mm-hmm. know, right?
Yeah,
I thought
yeah.
it was cool at the beginning where, like, Where Finn, he doesn't, I've probably said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Always on Star Wars. Like at the beginning when he doesn't shoot the people, right? In the village, right?
Yes.
And then Kylo Ren's getting back on his ship and he kind of looks over at Finn and Finn looks over at him like, oh, it's a disturbance in the Force.
Yes!
Oh, that's so cool because he's a Jedi. No, it's all about Rey. And Finn was relegated to a comedy relief C plot or D plot in The Last Jedi. And then just running around saying Rey as well for the next two movies, which he started in the first movie, to be fair.
Rey!
So, yeah. Oh, and Kylo Ren should have, I mean, this guy apparently killed all of Luke's Jedi Academy, including Grogu. Sorry, Mandalorian. Paid yourself a new corner there, didn't you? Sequel trilogy. But he can't fight these two. Like, I know he got shot twice by the bowcaster, but come on. So, anyway.
I never thought of it. Thought about it that way until now, like going back, because I love the first movie just because of all those things, like, oh, those small little things, and now looking back, but then I don't know, we'll see where this Mandalorian stuff goes.
Yeah, Lance,
right.
that's
really all you
pilot.
Can say about it.
Right.
That's all it does in the movies.
Oh, John Boyega, you deserve better.
Yep.
So,
yes.
So we're all in alignment there. David Aircut, yeah, sure. I would like to see it. I think, you know what? I think Suicide Squad is one of the worst films I've ever seen.
That's correct.
Gosh, I was so excited for it.
Yeah, because that first trailer was very well done trailer, right?
Yeah,
and look, if there's a better version of the movie out there, I do want to see it.
Well, I mean, of course, it's a better version of out there because you don't have to try hard to do better than what we got in the theatrical version.
It's a low bar. Now, I will say, like, David Ayer trying to jump on the release of Snyder Cut bandwagon was like, come on, bro, get in line.
Well, I mean, you know? Can you blame him? Because everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah, there's only one that's been successful.
Are we sure about that?
Yeah, where's the other cuts? Where's the Schumacher cut?
We're waiting on it. It'll come out.
Still waiting on that. So,
everybody
yes,
gets cut. It's like Oprah. You get a cut, and you get a cut, and everybody gets a cut. You'll get a cut.
The situations between Zack Snyder's experience with WB and David Ayer's are very different. So, but all to say, yes, hey, HBO Max exclusive, David Ayer's Suicide Squad, let's see those extra half hour of Jared Leto's Joker and confirm that he is by far the worst person to ever play that character. Let's put that to bed, and then we can move on from there. So those are my thoughts. All right, so I know at the beginning I was like, we're not going to do the whole break it into two thing again. But I think we are because this is actually, we don't time these out.
Yeah.
You know, we don't do a table read of these before we do the mailbags. I have no idea. So it looks like we're going to have a new rule here on the podcast. Every four mailbags, it's going to be two parts. So this is Harry Potter 8 part 1 and or whatever, and we are going to put a pin in here and come back next week with the second half of the mailbag, which will be another hour or so, because yep. These are so again, it's great to have this much content. And so these are always so much fun to do and read, and of course I read them all when they come in, and then I read them and I organize them, and then we kind of obviously read them on air here, and that's what we'll do next week as well. So we're going to put a pin in it here. But Nick, man, until then, if people want to find you there online, where can they find you?
Oh, you guys can find me on both Twitter and Instagram. Twitter is going to be at Nick Ryan. I was one of the first people to sign up. So NickRyan at Nick Ryan. And then Instagram is at NickRyan.jpg. I was not one of the first. So yeah, follow me and let me know what you think.
Nick Ryan PNG and Nick Ryan BMP were taken. Yeah. So you had to do JPG.
JPG. But,
all right.
The lower flow format.
What about you, Lance? Where can people find you out there online?
They can find me on all my social medias at Sir Lance Laster. And you can find me over on the United Federation of Podcasts talking about all the things that make Arrow, Arrow on Always Hold On to Arrow. And you can find us on Twitter at Do Not Fail Our Pod.
Alrighty, as for me, more on Zach on Twitter. That's MOREONZACH. Also do some shows around the United Federation of Podcasts. You can find us over there at UFP Earth. And then, of course, for the podcast here, Always Smallville with one S on Twitter, Always on Smallville on Facebook, and you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with one S. And until next time, always hold on to Smallville. Always on to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cavante Chillis, Dallas Hernandez, Casey Cochran, Darren Kirsch, Joy Deanberg, JJ Hodges, DJ Duena, Jason Skipper, Nathan Rothatcher, Jordan Brenneman, Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, Steve Rogers, Joe Mikindo, Molly Ficarella, Atif Sheik, John Curcio, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Mark Itzfoppen, Alex Ramsey, Jason Davis, Jacob Stevenart, Corey Moore, James Bandini II, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clunk Kant, Patricia Carrillo, Jacob, Jason Short, Mariana Sachi, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Coso, Erica Flynn, Jared Gibbs, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine Pagelli, Keith Falls, Lauren D., and Cody Thomas. Thank you so much to all these patrons. You too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.
Did we want to read talk about this one? I just wanted to. Is this about cult stuff? So. I just wanted to ask first before I start.
No, you know what? Let's just skip that one.
Because okay. It says, totally understand if you neither reply nor ever read this in a mailbag. It actually, disclaimer here.
Yes.
This is now going to be the after credits.